There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Hey, we're not horsing around. We're talking about Jesus here across the internet worldwide. We are going to let you have a relationship with Jesus. And remember, we're not horsing around, ladies and gentlemen. All right. We strive. Well, I do. We strive to come up with a little bit different opening to the show every Tuesday night. And today's date is the 20th of October, 2015. And it is just about 2 minutes and 48 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time. And by the by, folks, speaking of Daylight Savings Time, we're going to be turning our clocks back November 1st, Sunday evening, or actually late Saturday evening, 2 a.m. on Sunday, November 1st, here in the United States of America, the central part, we turn our clocks back, which means if you live other than in the central part of the United States of America, if you're outside the country, we have a lot of listeners in Canada. We have a lot of listeners in Western Europe and Australia, New Zealand, China, Korea. You'll have to log on an hour earlier because we're going to turn our clocks back. So 8 o'clock will happen faster for us starting the first Tuesday of November, and that's just 2 weeks away. So I wanted to make sure that we got that out. We're going to talk about more. Let's talk about more. M-O-R-E. More ice cream. More popcorn. More fun. More laughter. If you have a garden, you want more rain. How about this one? This is a big one. More money. More free time. More time to spend with the kids. More time to spend with your horse. More time to get away from your family and have more peace and quiet time. More. More of something. More of the show. And by the way, thank you very much if that's what the more you are thinking of. Jim and I appreciate that. But I want to give you something to think about right off the bat. Okay, tonight's show is a boat rocker. We're going to take another giant step forward and get closer to Christ, okay? I want you to think about the word healing, about how you have cancer, you have a lump, you have arthritis in your hip, you've had a knee replacement, or they want you to have a knee replacement. You have cataracts and you're losing your sight. A bad shoulder. I don't know, a bad ankle. You understand. Financial troubles. You need something to occur of a positive nature. otherwise known as grace, a miracle, something miraculous, a healing. Well, I want you to think of these things that you pray for and would enhance your life. I want you to stop thinking them as a healing, as something that you deserve or you earned, or that a mistake has to be corrected, that it isn't right that you have a bad heart. It's not right that there's a lump in your chest. It's not right that your lower back hurts and they want surgery and they're talking about rods and pins. And you feel that if you worship God and you've been saved and you're a Christian, that these things should be corrected. They're mistakes. It's like buying a new car and you come up with a list of things that are wrong. The trunk doesn't fit right. There's a squeak in the door. The radio push buttons don't work right. You try to adjust your seat and it doesn't adjust right. So you come up with this list of things and you take your car back to the dealership. It's brand new and you want these things fixed. Why? Because it's a brand new car and it's under warranty. And you expect the dealership to fix these things. Unfortunately, many of us have the same attitude about our lives and our bodies when it comes to Christ. We expect these things because we should be perfect. If we're fat, we should be thin. If we're thin, we should have more weight. If we're getting older, we should be younger. If our dog is dying, it should be made to live forever. But let's talk about more. Because, Jim, the word more really is a focal point of tonight's show. And I'll bet you a shiny new dime, Jim, that at least 4 or 5 people by the end of the show, their lives are going to be really different. Don't you think?
Yeah, this is a good word because it really shows you that there is no end in God. And there is no limit. And we've made the comment, limits and boundaries. There's no limit. There's no boundary to God. In fact, there's many statements by the Lord Jesus and then by Paul, who was speaking the Lord's message, where actually they're encouraging you to think about the subject of more. And of course, it can be mentioned in a lot of different ways. But the idea is, don't limit God. Don't settle for less, because you can have more. In fact, one of those places that's really good, and you know, this is one of our scriptures that people will probably say that maybe they know us about this passage, because it's over in Matthew 6, and we've used it a lot in the last few years. And I'll read it with the context of the word more. It says, "Therefore I say to you," and this is Matthew 6:25, "do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?"
That's good.
Look at the emphasis.
That was real good.
It's not the body and not the food. The emphasis on, there's something else. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. He goes on a little further to say, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" And on we can go, because this word is really a universal word when you think about it in the scriptures. From the very, very beginning with Adam and Eve, they had more than enough. In a sense, you could say there was an unlimited supply. So more was, you could say, a normal, a regular word for Adam and Eve. Today, for most people, sorry to say, The word less is what people seem to identify more with.
They expect it.
It's because that's what they know, and they're trying to have more. They're wishing to have more. They pray to have more, but they really only know less.
Less is expected. Less is comfortable. Less is has a common history with them.
You know, it's an interesting thing. Less is comfortable. That's kind of is that what you would call one of those oxymoron things? Because it really isn't comfortable, yet it is, in the sense that it's become so normal that the uncomfortableness would be to actually have more. You know, we made a statement a long time ago. I've made this for years, but it's one of the ones that BJ actually likes.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that you say that I like.
Yeah, well, I said one of the things, you know.
Okay, all right. Gee, Merry Christmas.
Now I'm laughing so hard, I'm forgetting what it is we're saying, what I was trying to say.
You were talking about one of the sayings. Is it the one where if we could get rid of our bodies?
Oh, well, that's a good one. That may come up a little bit later tonight, which is healing would be easy if it weren't for the body.
I like that one. Yeah. That's a real good... That was the one why I gave that lady $80 for paying to get in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the tipping point when I said, okay.
That was a clincher?
Well, it was the point where I gave her $80 and I said, okay, I'm going to take this guy's course. He doesn't seem to be full of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you said that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, my point was, and this is what I was going to say, is people are more afraid of success than they are failure because they're so used to failure.
Well, and
that goes along with...
Well.
Less is easier.
We lose our self-esteem. We lose our ego. We lose jobs. We lose money. We lose loved ones. People lie to us and hurt our feelings, and we lose friends. We lose our youth. We get older. It's everything about life is about loss.
Right.
I mean, I see so many people that have a white knuckle, teeth clenched grasp on their lives. And I'm going to give you an example. A woman who, when she was in her 20s and 30s, she was drop dead gorgeous with a beautiful figure and just a heart stopping woman. And 30 to 40 years later, you can see that when she was young, she was this way. Because as an older senior lady, she still has that beauty. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's there. It's just now a woman of a senior age. And yet, they choose to dress like they're still in their 20s and 30s.
Hmm.
And so you see this woman who is trying to hold on to her youth, the history, through wardrobe and behavior, and even sometimes they'll have younger friends.
Sure.
When in reality, she would really be, in my estimation, now this is me, she would be more beautiful now than she was 30 or 40 years ago, if she dressed her age and showed how her beauty and style has developed through the years.
Yeah.
A guy who was a star athlete in high school, and he's now in his 40s or 50s, and he's still talking about the big game and how they won the championship because of what he did, he's holding on to that history, and he still wears football jerseys, and you know what I mean? He's holding
right,
on.
Right.
I see this a lot in the world of horses, where people will talk about a championship or a horse or what they used to do, and
life changes. We don't like change, and I'm guilty of this myself in many ways. The life I lead is, so what occurs is we do this with Christ in our relationship with God.
Right, right.
We want to sustain a life and an appearance and a vigorous, youthful energy when in reality we should be embracing who we are right now on the 20th of October, 2015.
Yeah. Right, right.
And realize that there is a style and grace to who we are and to embrace that. Because yeah. if we can open up ourselves to acknowledge ourselves, well, grace is going to say, how are you doing?
Yeah. Well, you know, Jesus says a lot in the scriptures here. I'm going through. And he draws a lot of parallels, like this one here. It says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So he seems to constantly use these parallels of earthly things that we recognize and then say, okay, now if you can imagine that, it's a whole nother world and a whole nother level to be in a relationship with God. But it's similar to the one you have in the earth.
Tonight, two things in the book that I think are very relevant and are cornerstones to our conversation, Jim, in my mind, is, well, you know me and Genesis. I think Genesis is underrated. It's ignored. That there is so much information mm-hmm. in Genesis that never gets, you know, acknowledged.
Right. Right.
Okay. I think tonight the story of Job is just dripping with more. How the steadfast of his faith, how no matter what he lost, no matter what happened, he would just escalate his power to embrace grace. To literally say, I've lost it. I've lost this. I've lost that. There it goes. There it's dead. It's gone. Blah, blah, blah. I am not going to turn away from God. And the more he lost, the more his faith and strength he relied on. And he received more.
Right.
More than he had.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that instead of healing that shoulder, eliminating that cancer, helping that hip, helping that knee, I think people should look at their self and say, if I embrace God, if I accelerate my faith and my belief in Christ, then grace right. gives you more. And more is fixing or replacing. You only have one eye. Well, the closer you become to God, you get more, which means another eye. So don't look at a healing as something that you're owed or that you deserve or that you're praying for. If you embrace God, you will receive more, which means a better body, more financial success, more love with your family, more friends, more hamsters or rabbits, more. It's God's love is endless and boundless,
yeah.
So that means that more is really an undescribable word.
I want to read something because you opened up, you know, the door there for Job. And, you know, Job had three friends, and these friends were not really great. They didn't have Job's best interest in mind.
No, they weren't.
They had their own interest in mind.
Yeah, you don't want to use them to co-sign a car loan.
Okay, that's really good. Okay. So these guys actually were the ones that were just saying, curse God and die. I mean, they weren't encouraging him to stay steadfast and believe in God. They were encouraging him to let go, to argue, to come up with a reason why God was at fault. So by the time we get to chapter 38, now think of that, 38 chapters or 37 previous chapters.
Right.
God has had enough. All right?
Yeah.
Listen to these words. Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind. Okay, we're talking whirlwind, we're talking tornado, okay?
some type of a twister, all right?
Right.
God comes in a wind, and it's blowing everything apart, and out of it God speaks and says, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me." Now, where I came from, those are fighting words.
Yeah.
Okay?
Exactly.
Put your dukes up.
Yeah.
Here we go. Listen to what he says. I mean, you're going to love this, because this is just nothing but God 101 on creation. Okay? "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors? When I said, 'Thus far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud waves must stop'? Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place?" You hearing the tone here? God, and listen, this is the amazing part. 38, 39, 40, and into 41, God gives 3.5 long chapters of just nothing but one statement after another. And when he's done, Job says, yes, Job says, "I have opened my mouth foolishly.
Yeah.
Now I put my hand over my mouth and I'll not say a word." See, Job humbled himself when he saw how more God was. And that's what brought the more.
And let's bring in the book of Genesis. What was the punishment of the serpent of Adam and Eve? It was less. Take away. They were giving less. Less of themselves, less of a reality to live in. They were giving less, which means that in the Garden of Eden, they had more.
So Jesus said in John 10:10, fits perfect with what you said. He said, now, the thief here is actually religion and people that don't preach the truth, but it comes from, you know, the enemy wants to do.
Yeah.
It says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's less. Jesus said, "But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly."
Now, folks, while you're thinking of that, let's get some housekeeping here. We would like some emails and text messages on tonight's topic, how it's affecting you, what you think. And please, don't think you're going to hurt our feelings. If you think the topic is not, you don't like it, or you disagree, I encourage and invite you to participate. This radio show is supposed to be like a group of people in the alleyway of a barn, sitting on bales of hay, bags of feed, and a couple of old, dusty, broken backyard lawn chairs, and we're just talking. And we're just relaxed, and there's no walls, no pretension, and people are just sharing what they're sharing. The way you text the show is the first word you have to type is the name of my dog, and her name is Ranger. R-A-N-G-E-R, Ranger. And after you type the word Ranger, then you type the rest of your text message. And when you press the send button and your machine asks you for a phone number, there's no one, there's no area code. It isn't a phone number. It's just 5 digits, 2 9s and 3 0s in a row. That's 99000 or 99,000. So the first word that you have to type is the word Ranger. Then the rest, then type whatever you like. And when you press the send button, 2 9s and 3 0s. If you'd like to email the show, and Jim, we have 5 emails that we need to address.
Right.
When you email the show, it's the name of Jim's show. All one word, no spaces, no capital letters. You just type the abiding presence, and then at, and then it's Gmail, you know, through Google. G as in grandma's gravy, gmail.com. That's the abiding presence,
gmail.com. We're going to go a little bit back here in history. This came in 5 days ago. It's from Joe. His name's Joe, and it says, glad that the three of you are back, because we were off the air for 3 weeks.
Four weeks.
It says, this email be used for recording. I give permission to use my name. Dear Jim, BJ, and of course, Ranger, when you guys went off the air, I knew that there was something drastically wrong. The Lord told me to pray in the Holy Ghost, which I did, knowing that the Spirit of God in me knew the best way to pray since I didn't know exactly how to pray. I will continue to pray for complete restoration of BJ. The three of you are a blessing. I try to listen to you guys every night before I go to bed. Wow. Well, thanks, Joe. Your brother in Christ, Joseph A. Firestone. Please pet Ranger for me. What a great dog. Yes, I too believe that my dogs will be in heaven to meet me at the gate. Can hardly wait to see Jesus and my dogs. Well, that was a nice email. Okay, we got another one here. This one came in 1 day ago. It says, your analogy of spiritual anorexia is great. And this there's no name that I could say. And remember the lady in China, Jian?
Yes, I do.
We haven't heard from her in months.
Yeah, it's nice to hear from her.
It is, and she sent an email 35 minutes ago. It says, the subject says salvation. It says, hi, it's Jian here. Please read on show. It's been a long time, BJ and Jim. Good to know that you guys are doing okay. BJ, have you been sick? Hope everything's okay with you and your heart. Had a question about my friend. She asked if a Christian commits suicide, will they go to hell? I hope you guys will continue the show. Gian will keep in touch soon. Jim, what's your thoughts on this? If someone believes in God, says they're saved, says they've been reborn, and they take their own life, up or down, left or right, heaven or hell, what's your thoughts? What do you believe to be true?
Well, I believe that an individual that's saved is saved by the grace and mercy of God, and I believe that if they took their life, that they would be saved. I don't believe that causes them to go to hell, and I look at it this way. You know, there's a lot of people that will die sick in their body but saved in their heart. So if someone were sick in the head, or they, you know, mentally they were challenged and decided to take their life, I don't believe that that discounts them spiritually and their connection with God. Now, we're talking about a very vivid and real connection with God on this show, an ongoing and progressive relationship with God. And an individual that has an ongoing and progressive relationship with God is beginning to experience the more that we're talking about on this show. In other words, things are actually starting to find that life is starting to get better. Things are more encouraging. So the whole idea of someone that's progressing becoming so discouraged and so distraught that they take their life, I don't see that.
I don't think I ever shared this with you. I was close. I was real close. It was... I love bad weather. I always have since I was a little kid. Lightning, hail, wind, snow, ice storms. I like bad weather. I like to be out in it. I like to experience it. You know, I mean, I prepare for it. I'm not an idiot. But, you know, I just enjoy a good thunderstorm and lightning strikes and things, even though it burnt a house down here on the ranch. We still have this burnt house on the ranch.
About 300 yards away?
More like about 450.
Okay.
No, probably four. You were pretty close. You and your golf course measurements.
Well, that's football.
And so anyways... It was lightly snowing. It was about 3:30 in the morning. I had just gotten out of the hospital and I was in my wheelchair. paralyzed from the waist down. I had one toe that would barely move if I focused and concentrated for like 10 minutes. I could just barely get it to, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you had to look close, but you could say, yeah, it kind of moved. Ranger was not happy. The wheelchair just scared her to death. She didn't understand the wheels and me rolling, and she didn't understand when she went outside why I couldn't go with her because I'm in a wheelchair on a ranch, and, you know,
right.
there's
right.
no sidewalk. Well, you know, there's no sidewalks. There's no maneuvering a wheelchair outside the house. And I was close. I had a revolver in my hand, and I thought, well, I just can't live like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be the guy in the wheelchair that says, you know, I used to be somebody, I used to do things, you know. And they were talking about how I would be better off in a studio apartment paid by the government in Tulsa somewhere, you know, and someone would come in and help me and shop and clean. And I just thought, this is not a life for me.
Right.
And I got so close that there's a hole in my bedroom wall. That's how close I was.
Hmm.
I pulled the trigger, and at the last minute, I pointed it at the wall. And I said, I'm going to walk.
Yeah.
If I, you know, and yeah. Everybody knows this, I said, I'm going to give myself a year. And if I'm not walking in a year, then I'm not going to shoot myself. I'm just going to have a really nice steak dinner, take a bunch of drugs off my truck, you know, because my truck's full of drugs, and for animals, and put them in a Del Monte pudding cup, and I'll just go to sleep and I won't wake up because I'm not going to live in a wheelchair.
Right.
Well, I'm walking.
Right.
But I wondered, because I hadn't met you.
Uh-huh.
I didn't really know if there was a God or not.
Right.
And as I was sitting there, I thought, will I go to hell? Because I'm not sure there's a heaven. I'm not sure there is a God. And this is 3.5 years before I met you.
Right.
And to this day, I wonder what happens. But then this life we lead is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, folks, this goes to tonight's subject matter more. There's nothing good of the body. There's nothing good of the flesh. There's nothing good of the world. Our bodies, we give them so much time and energy.
Yeah,
and the world that, thank you, and the world that these bodies live in, that's a distraction.
Yeah.
That gives us less.
Yeah.
That does not give us more, because more is grace, more is God, more is the Holy Spirit, that endless, boundless power that we love to say, yes, that's God, that's more. And so you have to look at yourself and say, am I focusing on less? Am I living with less? Am I welcoming less? Am I ignoring my potential for more? And I think we all do on a daily basis. It might be
sure.
for a minute. It might be for 10 hours. But I think, honestly, that we all do that. We got an email from the six Sisters Sewing. That's the Weaver family. It says Grier. Oh, I love this name. G-R-E-Y-E-R. Grier. Grier Weaver wants to know why God is dead on Easter and comes back to life 3 days later. Is that really true?
Well, Jesus died on Good Friday and came back on Easter.
Oh, okay. I see what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
I really need to read the Bible sometime. I gotta get one of those books. I really do. Oh, and I'm a little concerned here. I understand now why the Weaver kids are homeschooled. There's a picture. Well, there's two pictures with the email. One is some pumpkins.
Okay.
And you know I have pumpkin issues. You know, I can't grow them to save my life. I try every year, and I have.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah, my pumpkins are out there, by the corn, and they don't even look like pumpkins.
Huh.
But there's a picture of a girl in her teens with glasses, and she has a very thick, dark, black mustache. So I think the reason that this weaver girl is homeschooled is because she has a big mustache.
Hmm.
If she was to shave that mustache, she could probably go to public schools.
Well, maybe she's listening.
We got a text message. It says, "This topic is great. I really believe that you are amazing because you are teaching us how." And then it says, "Thank you." Folks, we need more emails. We need more text messages. How? What are you thinking, folks? I honestly want to know what you're thinking. And here's what we're going to do. To make it easy, see, we don't know who text messages. We don't see your phone number. We don't have any names. So you're completely secret with a text message. But what I would like to let you know is if you send an email for the rest of the show, we will not mention names unless you want to hear your name on the radio. I'll just say, here's an email, and you'll know it's your email when you're listening and we read it. So, so there you go. So okay. Send us some emails. If you look on the website, on the abidingpresence.com website, on the contacts page, that'll show you. Jim, I want you to find some scripture, and I want you to tell us about how more is what you're thinking, because I brought this up before the show started, and you told me you wrote 5 pages of notes while I was
mm-hmm.
talking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't know what you were doing over there, but you said as I was talking to you, you wrote down 5 pages. So I want you to talk to our listeners about more and how to, I don't know how to say it. I mean, not tap in or not access, but I guess change your perspective.
Uh-huh.
Instead of accepting less and living a life of less, why not live a life with the potential and excitement and acceptance of more?
Right.
Okay, does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So 2 Corinthians.
Ready, set, go, go, go!
Okay, 2 Corinthians 12. Paul's going to learn a pretty amazing lesson here. I mean, and this is pretty cool because, you know if you're a student of the Bible, and if you're not, let me just say this. Paul wrote, as far as the quantity of books, he wrote more than anybody else did in the New Testament. very prolific. He was basically you could say he was the doctor degree of all the doctor degrees, okay, theologically. And had so many amazing experiences, and yet here we find Paul learning another, which I love that he's always open to learn, another great lesson. And it said in verse 7 that there were all kinds of hindrances that came to his life. He said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I sought the Lord thrice, or 3 times, that it might depart from me." Okay, well, first of all, boy, religion has taken that and just run that amok for so many years. They said that basically Paul's thorn in the flesh was an eye disease, because Paul greeted some of the other churches by saying, I love you and I would even give my right eye for you. In other words, the saying say, I would give my right hand for you. I would give my life for you. But no, if you stay consistent to the scriptures, and this is just off the path for a second, you can go back to Deuteronomy and find out that you can look up the phrase thorn in the flesh and you can actually find it. And the thorn in the flesh to the Israelites were the nations that continued to harass them. So when Paul's talking here, he's speaking about all these terrible experiences that he has continually because Satan stirs up weak-minded people to come against the gospel message to keep it from being preached. Now, here's the interesting thing. Satan can't stop Paul himself. so he has to get other people in the flesh to try to stop him. And even then, Paul finds himself being delivered time in and time again. And so God said to Paul, when he had approached him three times about this, to take this away, all this harassment, God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient in thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Well, you got to love that, folks, because that's more. Notice what God is saying. No matter how weak your weakness is, grace is always stronger. Grace is always more. And Paul got a hold of this, and notice what Paul said, because I love someone that's a quick learner. Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now notice what he's saying here. He's saying, here I'm trying to fight with everything I've got against this weakness, against all this trouble. But now, if grace is sufficient, then what that says is, if there's trouble, I'll change my perspective and look to God, because there's so much grace and there's so much more of God to put me over, that changing my perspective is the reason why I find myself now not no longer weak, but strong. He went on in verse 10 to say, "Therefore I take pleasure in weaknesses, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is really a very important part of BJ's question here about, number one, talk about more. First of all, God is El Shaddai. I know that's a Hebrew term, but it means the God who is more than enough. That's pretty cool right there.
I like that.
He's more than enough. He's not El Cheapo. He's more than enough. God that is more than enough. Listen, that's got to resonate in your thinking, that no matter how weak you may feel, no matter how less you may experience, God is more. Now, here is a key. Whenever you find yourself experiencing less, I'm sharing with you that most likely it's because your focus, your direction, your feeling, and your emotions are swallowed up in less. But the moment you turn your back on less and literally focus on more, see it, experience it, you'll find that grace is everywhere, and more has always been with you. You've just chosen less.
I can't hear the show.
Huh.
I've got three computers telling me that everything's fine, and I have one computer that says we're not.
So is anybody? Can anybody tell us if they're hearing us?
Yeah. If they send a text message or an email and says that we're broadcasting and everything's fine, that would be kind of handy, because it's the computer that isn't connected to the barn. You know, this laptop?
Uh-huh.
This laptop is could be in Canada or you know, this could be at Breakfast Ed's garage, or this could be in the Weaver kids' backyard, this computer. And this computer says we're not broadcasting, but everything else says we're rocking and rolling just fine.
Huh.
So if somebody would like to send some text messages and some emails, also about tonight's topic, because right now I need more information.
Thank help.
The snacks made me thirsty tonight. We had some kind of caramel popcorn cheese popcorn combination in a sack, and then we had the old-fashioned bag of Bugles. I mean, they're not chips, but, you know, Bugles. Those corn things that are shaped like a tornado cone, like a snow cone. And then we had some candy-coated pecans.
Uh-huh.
And those are always good. Those are expensive, aren't they?
Yeah, did you see that?
No.
That package was $5.21, I think.
Let me see. Oh, my gosh. These things are $11 a pound. And you got a little under a half a pound in it. You want some money? You want me to
No.
Chip you?
No.
You were
going to take the other stuff anyhow. I'm taking that home.
Oh, who do I thank for the Rice Krispie squares?
You thank Christine.
Oh, from Nebraska?
Yes.
Christine, if you're listening in Nebraska, Thank you very much for the Rice Krispie squares.
Thank you. We split them in half, and our family ate them like within minutes. And then I forgot to bring them to the bar, and so BJ's just getting them now. But they are still soft, so way to go.
Yeah, they were good. Okay, we got a. We got one text that says we are hearing. We got another text that just popped up. It says everything is fine, hearing well. God bless. Another text. You're broadcasting live. See, folks, if you text us, please participate in the show. If you want to say hi to friends or relatives that are listening, that would be great. We'd like that too. We got one here. Oh, Mississippi. It says, I hear you in Mississippi. And then it says, this is Casey. So if someone says their name like that, then we're going to say their name. But otherwise, we're just going to, we won't mention any names unless someone says this is, like he did, he says, right. This is Casey.
Hey, Casey, maybe sometime in 2016 we can get those meetings to work there and make something happen. I'll keep after some of my buddies there in Jacksonville and see if we can't hook up a weekend.
We got an email that says broadcasting loud and clear here in Morgan Hill, California. That's Grandpa and Grandma.
Way to go.
Outlaw Bikers. And we're always glad to hear from them in Morgan Hill, California. I had a friend in high school that lived in Morgan Hill, California, because Morgan Hill wasn't that far from Saratoga and Los Gatos, where I was up in the foothills. I was above the pollution line. Now, imagine this. Now, I can't imagine what it's like now, but A few decades ago, I would leave school and I would drive up into the mountains that surround the San Francisco Bay Area. And wow, everything was kind of light green. And then all of a sudden, all the trees and foliage would be kind of a light brown and they wouldn't be really green. And the air smelled kind of funny. And that was the smog, the pollution that was held in the valley. You know, and then all of a sudden I would drive through it and the air was clean and crisp and all the trees and foliage were like three times as green as everything else below it. Yeah. And so the ranch I lived on was above the pollution line. So we looked down at the pollution down into the valley and I could see the Golden Gate Bridge, Alcatraz. And
really?
And I could see the Pacific Ocean, and I could see these big ships going up and down the coast of California. So I could see, we were pretty high. We were one of the highest elevations. Matter of fact, every once in a while, we would get some light snow for like a day or so. And people would come up out of the valley trying to make a snowball.
Huh.
But it was, that we were one of the highest points.
Right.
Around the San Francisco Bay Area. That was the ranch I lived on. Okay, we got emails here. Let's see. We got one. Let's see here. Where was I? It says, hi, Jim, Ranger, and BJ. This is 9 minutes ago. BJ and Jim, was Job still holding on to grace and faith in chapter 3?
Job.
Is that what she's talking about?
Yeah.
When in the bitterness of his soul, he was wishing that he perished on the day he was born, with a question mark. BJ, I think you said that no matter what he faced, he kept his faith. Can you explain? Also, you mentioned something about not asking for healing, but to seek grace instead. Can you elaborate? Thank you again. I'm excited about this evening's topic and ready to receive more grace. Blessings to you all. Oh, and this is the lady who owns the dog Deco.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm not going to mention names.
Tell you what, I'll take the first part, you take the second part.
Fair enough.
The whole thing about Job, it's a progression of chapters, and you know that Job's whole situation was a 9-month situation.
Yeah, it wasn't just a
bad week. Yeah, that's right. It wasn't just a bad. So there was a Job certainly stuck to his guns initially, and then had moments of wavering. And then, of course, with his friends, that if you got friends like that, the old saying is,
you don't
an enemy?
Yeah.
You know, going back and forth in his mind. But as far as Job, and of course, there's little innuendos where you could say, well, he had a thought here, a thought there. But the essence of his heart was steadfast throughout all. No, even when in this situation, he's felt depressed. He felt like maybe he was going to end it, but his heart was still steadfast to God. If you look at it from that perspective, you can see that there is a journey, but inside his heart, he knows God is real, and he knows that he has to stay, his allegiance has to be to God.
Okay. My turn?
Yeah.
Okay, it says...
the healing part.
Yeah, it says, BJ, I think you said that no matter what he faced, he kept his faith. Can you explain? Also, you mentioned something about not asking for healing, but to seek grace instead. Can you elaborate? Thank you again. I'm excited about it. Okay. BJ, I think you said that no matter what he faced, he kept... Okay. There are... It's a little difficult. You kind of got to... take a deep breath and say, okay, this is the way I'm going to look at the Bible right now. And if you look at all the parables and the stories from a non-Christian point of view, like it's just a book and they're just stories and this, there's no heaven, there's no hell. And you just kind of look at it as it's just another book with stories. And you look at the stories and the parables about everybody, Moses, Job, David, Abraham, Adam and Eve, just all the stories and parables. There's a common denominator in all of them, and it's one of doubt, self-doubt, and also a constant of more. Now, even Jesus himself had a moment of doubt. He had been on a camping trip for 40 days and 40 nights with no food and no water. And the first person he comes on, he tells him what he's been doing for the last 40 days. And the first person, well, naturally they say, you must be thirsty. You must be hungry. And even Jesus, now think of this. For a moment, he thought, hey, wait a minute. 40 days? Yeah, I should be hungry. I should be thirsty. And then he said, but grace and more took back over.
Sure.
Even, now think about this. There's a guy walking with Jesus. They step out of a boat in the middle of the ocean. And there's all these other guys in the boat watching this. And they choose to have less, to acknowledge less. But this guy walking with Jesus, Stuart, David, I can't remember what his name is, but it doesn't matter. He's walking with Jesus, and all of a sudden, instead of embracing more and grace, he says, wait a minute, I'm walking on water. I'm just an average guy, like those guys in the boat behind me. I should be drowning. I should be swimming. And he got his shoes and socks a little wet because for a moment he regressed. We all have those moments. If you say you don't, you're lying to yourself. You're fooling yourself. And please, everybody, stop worrying what somebody else thinks of you. It's a waste of time, and it's a waste of your life. And focus on more. And grace is more. And I mentioned something about not asking for a healing. Ask to be closer to God. seek to be closer to God, because the closer to God you are, the more grace you have. And what is grace going to do? Give you more. Give you more days without pain. Give you better sight. Give you the ability to walk faster and with more coordination. To walk stairs instead of taking an elevator. To stand up out of a chair without pain. To enjoy a good night's sleep without discomfort. Is that a word, discomfort? Yeah. Well, it is now.
Yeah, it is.
The BJ Dictionary.
Yeah.
It is now. This is what we're talking about. I don't know if I did that email any good or not. Okay, go ahead. We got a bunch of emails.
Okay, but let me back this up with just a couple scriptures because of how you used it with Jesus.
Did I do all right?
Yeah, you did. Because what I'm saying is Jesus, for a moment, had a consideration of going with his flesh or staying true to his heart or spirit. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was getting ready to go to the cross, and he was praying to the Father.
Right.
Look at what he's praying here. He prayed in verse 41. It says, "And he was withdrawn from the disciples about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." Okay. Well, look at that. He has momentarily, his flesh says, "I don't want to do this."
There's the doubt. There's the click away.
That's the consideration of the flesh and the world. The opportunity, not the choice,
right,
but the opportunity to choose another path.
Right.
And he says, "But not my will, but thy be done." And look what happened when he chose right. An angel comes and strengthens him.
More.
That's more.
That's more.
There you go.
And folks, I want to add this real quick. This is where organized religion really jacks with your mind and really can mess you up. Because at this juncture where you can choose less or more, this is where they like to throw in heaven, hell, and Satan. Satan's got you in a chokehold. Satan is teasing you. Satan is overpowering you. Don't worry. It's not your fault. The devil's disciples are all over you, because that way there is a worldly reality excuse for less, for failure.
Mm-hmm.
Because they take the responsibility and accountability off of you, and they bring in almost like a cartoon devil. You know, like a cartoon villain. And this is the distraction that takes so many millions of people off the ability to choose more. And this all happens, bam, 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 in a blink of an eye, in a fraction of a second. So don't concern yourself with doubt. We all have doubts. Concern yourself with the fact that when it happens, in the instant, in the split second when it happens, you can choose to ignore it and go for
more.
Okay.
What are those emails to?
Oh man, we got a bunch. Okay, it says, "Hello, loving the show tonight. I really needed this topic." Okay, thank you for that. We got another one here. It says, "You are rocking and rolling fine." Oh, that's from Deco, the dog. Because this computer still says we're not broadcasting. We got another one here. It says, "More." I like that. That's the subject. It says, mm-hmm, "More. Hello to BJ, Jim, and Lady Ranger. I'm enjoying hearing you live on the radio program this evening. I'm up in Alberta, Canada, and we too will be turning our clocks back." Oh, I didn't know that. Canada has time changes. Did you know that?
No.
I didn't either. We're learning. Thanks for turning the fan on. Just wanted to mention that as a side note on this topic of more, please continue to teach us tonight. You are coming in loud and clear. A big hug to Lady Ranger. And, the next one. It says, "Broadcasting loud and clear." Oh, this is, I already read that. That's Grandma and Grandpa. Oh, can you believe this? I can't believe this. 14 minutes ago, guess who this is? It says, I can hear you guys in Tracy, California. It's nice to be listening tonight.
Stovetop
Sue. The reason we call her Stovetop Sue is because of stovetop stuffing. She's usually cooking supper when she's listening to the show. And the girl can cook, but it's just, you know, I don't think I'd want to eat her food because it's too healthy. I mean, there's no grease, there's no gravy, there's no, you know, I bet she buys a steak and then cuts a lot of the fat off. And the fat's the tastiest part.
Huh.
Why are you looking at me like I just said something bizarre?
We usually cut the fat off.
Yeah, well, yeah, that goes without saying. Yeah. But hello to Stovetop Sue. We have missed your emails. Ranger and guys can hear you just fine. I'm enjoying the topic. Less of me, more of God. Less is more. So that was a nice email. We're not mentioning any names so people feel more comfortable about contacting us. Subject, sound check. Message, body, you sound great. If you just logged on, my monitoring computer that isn't connected to any of the broadcasting equipment here in the barn, it says we're not broadcasting, so it's the machine. Because the rest of the machines say we're going, and thank you for these emails. Subject, the radio show. Hi, Ranger and company. I can hear the show just fine. This is from Toronto.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Oh, I'm down. Oh, Greyer. Oh, see, I knew it. I mispronounced the name. It's not Greyer. Greyer is pronounced Greyer.
Oh, really?
That's even prettier. Hmm. A Greyer. It means chief. And yes, he thinks he is the boss. I didn't know what happened, but the last three kids ended up with crazy names. I guess I was bored laying on the sofa during pregnancy.
What are the other names?
I don't know, but that's Mama Weaver. That school.
Now, Tatiana would be one of them because she's written in.
Yeah.
Okay, well, tell us, Heather, tell us what the other names are.
And here we got an email.
And what their meaning is, too.
Oh, I like this one. This listener wants to say hello to everybody. And it says, hi, everyone, from Pasco. I forget, where's Pasco? What state is Pasco in? I hate that when I can't remember.
I'll Google it.
Somebody. Okay, folks, we're talking about more. And let's give you guys something to really consider here. Okay? If you've listened to this show with...
Ed said Washington.
Washington? Who said that?
Breakfast.
Breakfast Ed just texted you?
Yeah, Pascal's in Washington.
Oh, well, thanks to Breakfast Ed. Hello to Breakfast Ed.
Hey, Breakfast Ed. McDonald's is having breakfast now 24 hours, so you ought to be really happy.
Here's an interesting email. It says... If you two guys could do anything you wanted, what would you do?
Well,
it's just an open question. Yeah. If we could do whatever we wanted, what would we do?
Well,
I know what my answer is. What's yours? You don't have one, do you? You look kind of perplexed.
Well, I'm trying to think of how to answer that, because...
What?
Well, I've never thought about more what I wanted to do.
If I could do anything that I wanted, I know what I would do. And it has to do with you.
Okay.
And horses.
Mm-hmm.
It's really true. I mean, it sounds like I'm paranoid, but there is a major conspiracy in this country between the government, the Department of the Interior, and a subunit called BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, big corporate agriculture, casinos, and strip miners to eliminate wild horses and wild burros from the United States, in the western United States.
Wow.
They're rounding them up with helicopters. They put them in trucks, and they ship them to Canada and Mexico to be slaughtered. So if I could do whatever I wanted to do, I would want enough money to buy a large piece of land in the western United States. I'm not talking hundreds of acres. I'm talking 100,000 acres, which would encompass. It sounds bigger than it is, but it would be something that it would take you a couple of hours to drive around.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a sanctuary for wild horses, and then we would set up a place where people could come and spend a couple of weeks on their vacation and hike and work with the horses and learn about grace and meet other people. We would do the radio show from there. I would live there, and we would have a place where you could talk to people and have clinics and schools, and we would have a summer camp for kids, and it would be solar and wind powered, and it would be self-sustaining. A place where grace would just be so thick that you would have to wear rubber boots just to step through the grace. A place where people could come know that they could be themselves, and have a whole bunch of cabins where people could come and try to save their marriages and try to get closer to their kids, and where people could walk on trails, and there would be places where they could stop and just relax and pray or meditate or just have a picnic. And it would just be like a grace amusement park encompassing a place to save wild horses and burros.
So let me ask you about the horses. How much time have you spent around wild horses?
Oh, a lot.
You have, really?
Yeah. I used to do some consulting for the Bureau of Land Management.
And you were around them?
Oh, yeah. I've spent... the longest time I spent with wild horses was 90 days. I followed the herd on foot. It was a herd of about 32 horses. And I couldn't get closer than about a quarter of a mile. That's the closest they'd let me come to them. And so I was always a quarter to a half a mile away. And with a spotting scope and the rifle scope, I could bring them closer. And for 3 months, 24 hours a day, I stayed with them. I lived off the land. There was a couple times where airplane drops, where they put things in bags and they fly low, you know, and they drop it.
Mm-hmm.
Ammunition, food.
Now, where was this again?
This was California and Nevada.
Hmm.
And I spent 90 days, and all I did was follow them. I learned so much. You know, it's kind of funny. As much as I learned about horses, I learned a lot about myself.
Hmm.
When I was done, I was done with a lot of things.
Hmm.
I realized that I was really wasting a lot of time, and some of the things I was saying and doing were just so stupid and ridiculous.
Hmm.
We got an email. Thank goodness we got an email. It says, "Oh, wow, BJ, sign me up and deco up right now. I'm packed and ready to go." That would be something, wouldn't it? We've talked about that, haven't we?
Yeah.
Where we would be close to some, within, like, say, what, 30, 45 minutes to a metropolitan area. See, I would want a food, if we were close to a big city, I would want to have a food bank and a clothes bank. And I would take a backhoe, remember I told you this, I would take a backhoe, and I would dig a huge hole. And that would be where people could throw prescription drug bottles, glasses, canes, crutches, walkers, knee braces, those elastic things that you put around your stomach and your back, you know, like you've seen people, when they have a bad back, where people could come to the ranch and find grace, and they could just throw this stuff in this hole. We wouldn't cover it up with dirt. We would just leave it there so that when someone came that had doubt or they were unsure because they were living a life of less, that they could see that there was a potential for more. A place where people could see that they're no worse or no better than anybody else. That we are more alike with a stranger than we are different. That we all have fears and doubts. And that really would bring us closer together and make it easier for people to have fellowship and grace. All right, let's get down to reality. Look at this. Another message. You forgot to scroll down to the picture. Oh, she sent a picture of a horse. I'm sorry. It says you forgot to scroll down to the picture of my horse. Oh, wow. You got to come look at it. Come around here real quick. You got to look. This is a... Okay, folks. She sent a really nice picture of a black horse that's got a little bit of a white blaze on its lower forehead. And a nice little white snip between its nostrils.
He looks like he's a pretty good size, too.
Yeah, well, you know, see, I have a problem. I've never met a horse that I didn't love or like.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm really bad about that. Thank you, Stovetop Sue, and I'm sorry. Then, yeah, I didn't realize I had to scroll down. Okay,
folks. That's Sue's horse?
Stovetop Sue's got horses.
Oh.
Yeah, she said, this is my new horse.
Oh.
And I didn't see it before. Okay, folks, emails, text messages. The way you text the show is you just say Ranger, R-A-N-G-E-R, Ranger is the first word you type. Then type your text, and when you press the send button and your machine asks you for a number, it's just two nines and three zeros. 99,99000.
Can you take, just real quickly, can you take a guess at what kind of horse that is? Or is that too hard just by what you're looking at?
Well, the problem was is when I, that photo, you know.
Doesn't look like a quarter horse.
No. It looks like a gelding. That was the first thing I thought is it looked like a gelding. But I could be wrong. As far as the breed, I'm not sure. But I think it's probably, I don't know. I'm guessing. I mean, this, I'm just guessing.
Sure, sure. That's what I
mean,
asked.
I'm really just pulling this out
of,
you know, guessing. I would say that it's a some type of a, like a hunter jumper, equestrian type horse, equitation, and a gelding. But I'm guessing. And I'm probably like way off.
Okay.
Because all I got was a face photo.
No, I know.
Okay, well, all right. Talk to us about more, Jim.
I got a real good passage here.
Yep,
that's great. Everybody
that's
will
what
like
I'm,
it.
That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for.
Exodus 13 and...
Where? Say it again.
Exodus 14, excuse me, verse 10. It starts, and this is a real simple story, but it just typifies what we're talking about. It's Moses and the children of Israel at the Red Sea. You all know the story. And how that they crossed the Red Sea. Well, it says here, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Look how sarcastic they are. Why have you so dealt with us? To bring us up out of Egypt. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? So here they it's so interesting what happens. And this is the difference. And this is the point at which the temptation becomes a reality, is when you buy into it, when you give yourself to it, when there's feelings and emotions that go to the flesh and the world. And this is what they're doing. Now, Jesus, of course, he ends up being hungry in the wilderness. There's a moment there where he can yield to that hunger, or he can yield to truth. Same thing took place, and I read you that, about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's a moment there where he acknowledges the temptation, which is very simply to say, he looks at the possibility of saying, I don't want to do this. My flesh doesn't want to carry through.
this to the end. But then he says, not my will, thy will be done. Well, this is different, folks. Look at this. Sarcastically, they look at Moses because they see the Egyptians coming. So whatever you see coming into your life, whatever you see or feel or already know seems to be in your life, whether sickness, disease, whether difficulty in the family, difficulty on the job, things aren't going right, difficulty with your mind, things that you're oppressed with. Look at what they did. Because there are no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Sarcastic statement. Why have you so dealt with us? To bring us out of Egypt. Well, they wanted to get out of Egypt. They were oppressed there. How quickly they forgot. Is this not the word we have told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Folks, that's called yielding to the flesh and yielding to the world. You can't do that. Goes on to say, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Okay, that's the word of the people. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see no more forever. For the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, what I say to that is this. It sounds really great, but that's the same thing as somebody saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. It's so good to be saved. Jesus is so good. I believe I received my healing, but I'm waiting on the manifestation. It's all the religious phrases that we learn to say by rote like a parrot that make us feel like we're in the game when we're not in the game at all. Notice, nothing has taken place here. Moses hasn't taken a step forward, but he sure sounds good. Well, God doesn't applaud him. Hello, somebody. Look at what the Lord says. The Lord now answers Moses. So we've got the children of Israel buying into the flesh and in the world. Moses being all religious here. And God says to Moses, why are you crying after me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Listen, God just cuts to the chase. No religious talk here. He's saying, I'm going to rebuke you for saying all that garbage. In other words, it sounds great. It's articulate, pomp and circumstance, and yet there's no heart in it. There's no conviction to it. See, we're talking about more, folks. More doesn't come when you buy into the flesh. More doesn't come when you say all the religious things you've learned to say. And don't think I don't thank God and I don't say glory to God and hallelujah. I do. But the thing is, I've learned to let them be a part of my experience with God instead of just phrases to take the place of my experience. Going on, it says, Moses said, lift up your rod and stretch it out over the sea and you divide it. Well, now look at what he did. He said, you're trying to put the responsibility on me, Moses. I already gave you the responsibility. You do something. You want more? Then lift up your rod and split the sea. Folks, this is where the rubber meets the road. You want more in your life? Like A.W. Tozier said, I love this guy. He's back in 1860 and 1870, but he had something. He said, real faith is where you put yourself on purpose in a position where you can't go back. It's just called getting out there where there's nothing but you and God. And it says here, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And indeed, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow and yet drown. So look at what God did. God told Moses the prescription. It's not to sit on the sand and twiddle your thumbs and say, come by here, Lord, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. It's to get into the sea. I've said this to people. They don't really get it. But you know what? You want to find grace? You want to find more? Then look for trouble. Look for your bee's nest, your beehive. In other words, in your trouble, in your difficulty is where the grace is. And when you step toward it and stop running from it, you'll find that God is all sufficient and he's greater than anything that you could ever imagine. Well, I think I spoke my piece, but folks, listen.
That was great.
Grace isn't just sitting around. It's not a docile thing where we walk by faith. It's a very active, very progressive.
And it's a very happy, joyful, almost a party-like atmosphere. That's one thing that I think is so sad about organized religion and a group of people sitting in a building in pews or in rows of chairs. That it's more of an official, somber, quiet, business-like atmosphere.
Or super intense with tons of effort.
And people literally just being pounded on. That's not grace. That's not Christ. Think of this for a second. All right? You've been away from home for a couple of months. Now we're going into fall and winter, Thanksgiving, New Year's, Christmas, and you're looking forward to coming home. And you step in and your cousins and your aunts and uncles, and it's a family get together and the house smells great from all the baking and cooking, and everybody's laughing and having fun, and kids are making too much noise, and parents are telling their kids to slow down. It's a happy atmosphere because you have come home. You're home with your family. You're home with your parents. We are all the children of Christ. So going home and accepting grace is like that feeling of joy, of laughter, of fun. Why would it be anything else? And it means that it will be more. Because the more is not healing, the more is taking the pain away, giving you clearer vision, giving you power to walk and to run and to be happy. That's positive. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. That's more. That's not somber. That's not official. That's fun. That's almost like a carnival atmosphere. I just read this email.
What did it say?
I am so... You know what? I couldn't be farther off on Sue's horse. I got the sex wrong. I got the breed wrong. I'm just grateful that I noticed that it was a black horse. Okay, folks, a radio show and 17 books and being in the horse business for almost 40 years, I am like so wrong. I mean, I might as well have just said it was a hamster on a wheel.
What is it? What kind?
It's 15 years old, it's a mare, and it's a quarter horse.
Get out. Really? It's a quarter horse.
Yeah, I mean, I was so wrong. This, you know, I like being wrong because it means I'm going to learn something. You know, I mean...
Well, we've always said you can't be right until you're willing to be wrong.
Yeah, I've learned more from my mistakes than I ever have with successes.
Well, you know, I've talked at times about Brother Hagin, and I had a relationship with him before he went on to be with the Lord. But he told me that himself. He said, "I've learned more by the things I've gotten wrong than the things I've gotten right." The sad thing is people that have followed him all these years would be upset by hearing that. They was, "Oh no, he was never wrong." No, he admitted himself. I've made mistakes. The things that I've done wrong have taught me more than the things I've actually gotten right.
The only thing that's ever been that's made me fearful, afraid, and would haunt me is that fortunately for me, you know, and I used to say I'd rather be lucky than good, and I'm pretty darn lucky. And I've accomplished a lot of things that people just gave up on. They'd say, "There's no way." Mm-hmm. And then they'd say, "Well, there's this guy that's a little crazy, and he costs a lot of money, and, you know, but he deals with horses like this," that kind of thing. And I don't like it when my education is paid for by a horse, which means that for the horse, there's misfortune without compensation. Hmm. Unfortunately, I've made a very good living because people make mistakes with their horse. And so my education has been, what I personally feel, has been paid in something worth 1,000 times more than diamonds, rubies, and gold. And because it's my education has come on the discomfort and pain of horses because of people's mistakes. Now, let's take what I just said and let's apply it to people who are listening to the show. As close as you are to God and as close as you want to be to God, you are going to screw up. You're going to say something, you're going to do something, and it's going to break your heart. And you're going to beat yourself up, and I don't want you to do that. I want you to acknowledge your mistake and hopefully learn from it so that you don't do that again. Because there is a passage in Scripture that says all of your sins are forgiven. And what that really means is you will have more and you can enjoy grace, and the frailty of your body, the fact that you have so much presence in the world, Earth, on this planet, that the potential for bad choices is there every day. And remember the passage where it talks about if someone is going to steal, they should cut their hand off so they don't do it. If they're going to say something bad, cut their tongue out before they do it. If they're going to look at somebody in a sinful matter, poke your eye out so you don't do it. What they're talking about is less, is very comfortable, very enticing. And what they're talking about is to show you that it isn't about the pain in your body. It's not about the having a nicer car than your neighbor. It's not about spending a lot of money on Christmas gifts to show how much you love somebody. Really? That don't make sense, does it? What it's saying is that the body is perishable. The body is temporary. That your body isn't important. It's your spirit and soul inside. And to protect your spirit and soul, we will sacrifice the body. Which means that you have more right now in you.
Mm-hmm.
That divine spark, your soul, your heart, God's grace, God's love, whatever name you want to give it, you've got it right now. And you can choose to have more, to embrace it and enjoy it. Or you can stay as you might perhaps possibly be right now with less. And only you can do that. I can't do it. This radio show, Jim can't do it. Your husband, your wife, your mom or dad, your grandparents, they can't do it. This is something that we all have to choose.
Yeah, and I want to add to that.
Was that all right?
Yep. That when you hear BJ talking about the horses and his respect for horses, because they've actually, at their expense, have given him a career and a good life, I want you to know that at the expense of Jesus Christ and his shed blood and his back being ripped open for your sickness and your disease and the blood that came down and that he shed for your sin and being nailed in his hands and his feet, being hiked up on a cross and having a crown of thorns in his head, being spat on, ridiculed, and mocked.
And alive.
And all of that, if not more, going to hell and taking your sin as a victim when he was really a victor. And went to hell for 3 days. All of that when you begin to consider that he suffered what he suffered so that you could have more. Came out of the grave on the third day, and he did so in such style so that you could come out of your grave when you accept him as Lord and Savior and experience the same life that he has in connection with the Father, now you have through him as a connection to the Father. There's so much unlimited access to God without any hindrances, without any boundaries. So in one sense, you could say for us to deny more would almost be, like we've said for a long time now, to literally so get in our own way.
Yeah.
Because we're tripping over more. It's all around us. if it wasn't that we were filled with God, that we've already been given a status as being a child of the King, where the devil's completely defeated and we have been seated in heavenly places, if all these things haven't been for us, if that's not enough, God comes to live inside of us. So he's not just walking around like Adam. He's actually living inside of your DNA, your molecules, living inside of your flesh, in your spirit to empower you. And if that's not good enough, you think about everything that God has done. He saturated this planet with more called grace, so that at all times, no matter where you are, what you've done, you can experience grace, experience God, and find out that to have God is better than to have anything in this world. Man, I'll tell you what, it's like it's overdone. It's kind of a guy that's got three PhDs working at McDonald's flipping hamburgers. It's like, what are you doing?
You need to pray more. You need to spend more time reading Scripture. You need to join our Bible study. You need to come to this church Wednesday nights. You need to come to this church as often as you possibly can. The more you pray, the more you read, the more you join us, the more that you bring us into your life, the more likely you are to feel better and go to heaven and not let the devil get a grip on you. Do you know how many people hear that on a Sunday morning? Maybe you have heard something like that. Maybe you're in the middle of that. It's wrong. It's less. There's nothing about that positive and uplifting. Why do you think there's scripture that says, you will do greater works than me? What that means is that you will choose more. You will improve yourself. You will uplift yourself. And I'm not talking about losing weight or a makeover or new furniture changing your hairstyle. I'm talking about you will do greater works. The greater works is choosing Christ, choosing grace, realizing that you have it. Grace is everywhere. Even if you're not there, grace is there for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your bathroom. It's on the highway. It's in your car. It's at your job. It's at the tire store. It's at the pawn shop. It's in the fresh vegetables section of your grocery store. There is no place where God is not. And the reason that grace is everywhere is so that wherever you are, you have access to your Father. We are his children. We're the children of God. If you believe that, if you like that, then subscribe to it. Own it. Take advantage of it. All right. I think we got an email. We do. This came in 11 minutes ago. I want more emails and text messages. I want people to tell us what they're thinking right now. It says, hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. I just joined the show. Thank you so much for the show. Each show seems like it is intended for me. With questions and issues that I try to figure out, you give answers during the show. I listen to each show a few times, and each time I pick up different things. What do you do? Oh, what you do is truly appreciated. If you ever start a list for a 1,000-acre ranch, please sign us up too. With a smiley face.
That's fun.
I know. Something way, way off topic. Since you and Jim have dogs, wanted to ask you a question. Which breed of dog would you recommend for a family with kids? Okay. Jim?
Well,
okay. You have Mitch and Muffy, which are about the size of a loaf of bread. They're small
dogs.
Well,
a Bichon and a...
A what?
And Mitch is a... I mean, Muffin is a Bichon Frise.
A
Bichon.
Bichon?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And
what?
Mitch is a...
Well, they look like the same breed.
Well, I know. Well, they're not. We just cut Mitch like Muffin.
Oh, okay. So what's
Mitch? Mitch is a... my goodness, how am I forgetting what Mitch is?
I don't know.
I'll remember in a second, but they're both hyperallergenic, and they don't shed.
Okay. So, and they're smaller dogs.
Yeah. Mitch is about 13 pounds. He's big for a...
Yeah, for, but they're about like a loaf of bread.
Muffin's about 18, 20 pounds.
Okay. This is what I recommend. I've had people ask me this questions for 30, 40 years. I think, okay, number one, how much time do you have to spend with a dog? How much room do you have? Do you have a big yard or a small yard? Do you have time to take an athletic type of dog that wants to run and cover a lot of space? In other words, make the dog, find the breed of dog that fits your life. Like a small dog, like a lap dog that isn't really active, they're good in a smaller environment with a smaller yard. But like Ranger, my dog Ranger, she weighs 83 pounds and she's a chocolate Labrador retriever. They like the hunt. They like to swim. They like to run. And fortunately, I live on a ranch, so there's enough room for her. The biggest thing that I recommend with a dog before you get a dog is to, how much time are you going to spend? Is this dog going to have access to the house? Is it going to be a member of the family, which means it sleeps inside, its food and water inside? Or are you going to put a dog house in the backyard and the dog is going to spend the majority of its life in a backyard by itself, and the only time it looks in the window, and if somebody's in the backyard, for whatever reason, it wants attention. Dogs are pack animals, which means that they like companionship. They sleep better, they eat better, they live longer if they have contact. Now, that can be another dog, or it can be a person. The closer you are to your dog, the more time you spend with your dog, the happier the dog is, and the happier you are. So, I would ask these questions first before you pick a dog. The size of the dog, I mean, remember, what goes in the mouth comes out the tail. So a smaller dog, smaller piles. Female dogs, I've had two dogs. My first dog was Rose, and my second dog was Ranger. And I probably won't have any other dogs. But I like female dogs because when they go to the bathroom, they drain their tanks. Male dogs, even if they've been castrated, they want to squirt everywhere to mark their territory. So I like a dog that's very efficient. I can open up my truck door, let her out in a ditch, open up the door and let her out, and she's outside, she does her business, and she's right back in. Boy dogs, they take longer to squirt everywhere.
Mitch is a Maltese.
Maltese. Did you ask?
No, I looked it up.
Oh, okay. I would just think about how much time do you have with a dog, and I think that it's really sad when a dog is in a doghouse and it spends the majority of its life in a backyard alone.
Oh, yeah, one more thing, too. If you get these small little breeds that are, you know, kind of fancy, then you got to groom them. I mean, either you got to learn how to do it or you got to take them somewhere. So then.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
So that's an extra...
Okay.
Punch of money.
Here we go. We got a message from Mom Weaver. Tatiana. Felicity, Evan, and Marguerite, named after Russian ballet dancer, a German lady at Rema, had this name, but she always pronounced it with an I instead of a ya. Okay. Tiasha. Rose of Sharon, named after Slavic ballroom dancer. Even the announcer got it wrong. Popular European names meaning fairy queen. Actually, Tatiana is a version of TJASA. It's like a name, one kid, Bob, and the other, Robert. Tatya quickly said if she could do anything, she would eat candy. Hey, that's we like that, don't we?
Yeah.
Grayer's name came from the movie Nanny Diaries. His late blood grandfather was Greg, and he wanted to get as close to it as possible. Well, see, we asked and we received. All right, folks, let's talk about more real quickly, because we're about ready to call it an evening here, but don't sign off quick just yet. Jim, do you think in your mind that we have we explained more? I mean, I'm not sure if we have. I mean, I'm not sure if we should next Tuesday night have a more part two. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think this is one of those ones that's close to the inexhaustible type of a topic, because there's just so much in the Word. And you know, here's what I don't want. I don't want the people to have this wonderful good feeling about more being available, but not be able to have the joy of experiencing what those feelings should actually be.
Boy, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
So we could say more. It's more. Yeah, there's more. And you're thinking, it's awesome. That's so much, so wonderful. There's more. But if you're experiencing less, to know there's more is almost a curse, you know? I mean, I want people to experience it. And so maybe we should go next week so we can continue to talk about the simple things that allow you to experience more. Can I share the story about Drew? Just to give you an idea.
Well, wait a minute. Drew is
my daughter.
Your middle daughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's 18. And just to give you a little idea, I mean, Drew's had some really cool things happen, especially around all the gymnastics and her legs growing out because of getting jammed and different things where God's touched her. But at the same time now, she's growing and learning to stand on her own two feet, which is pretty cool as far as with God and experiencing God. Now, when we got Mitch, Drew was the one when they went to see, it was my secretary at that time, they bred these Maltese, so they're purebred, and Mitch was the biggest one in the litter, and he is very big for a Maltese. And we make him look just like a Bichon. But anyhow, when Drew went there, she picked him up and loved him. And immediately her eyes started swelling. She started sneezing.
Oh, no.
And her nose started running, having this terrible allergic reaction.
Oh.
And so I was gone preaching. I asked Aaron, I said, how'd it go? And they said, we love him. He is wonderful. We want him, but we've got a problem. Well, what's the problem? Well, this is what happened with Drew. So I got Drew on the phone and I said, so do you want him? She said, well, yeah. But I had all these reactions. I said, well, here's what I want you to do. Will you follow my instructions? Because you'll be able to have this dog tomorrow. And she said, okay. And I said, tell mommy to go get the dog. And the moment it comes home, you pick up the dog, Mitch. He already had a name. You pick up Mitch. You put your nose right in his little belly. Take a big whiff and say, this is my dog. I'll never have an allergic reaction to Mitch. I said, can you do that? She said, yes. So she did it. And of course, we've got the dog. Perfect. No reaction. So
that's nice.
Here the other day, Drew's been experiencing God's grace. It's been wonderful. And she came home hurting so bad because she had had tacos and they reacted funny on her belly or something. And she just had terrible shooting pains in her belly. Well, she went on to work and we prayed and God had touched her and she was doing fine and felt all the way better. But now the next morning she came, she looked at me and she said, with a smile on her face, a little kind of grin, you know, she said,
right,
I want to eat tacos today. What do you think? And I said, you want to prove that grace is bigger than that pain, don't you? She said, yes. I said, eat them. I said, you're going to have a great day and tacos will never have tasted so good. Well, of course, she went through the day, never heard anything from her. When she got home, she elbowed me and she said, hey, the tacos were great. I feel wonderful. Folks, that's experiencing more.
I have a comment.
Yes.
Okay. Your family is a textbook example of eating and living healthy.
Well,
okay.
We are for most people, but I think Aaron would probably say, well, not really, but
I have this theory.
Okay.
When your kids go out into the world and they eat fast food that there isn't anything healthy about it, it doesn't surprise me that they have a reaction. And I'll tell you why. Because I can't believe... In the last 3 weeks, I've eaten like 2 or 3 heads of lettuce salad here at the house. I hate salad. It tastes bad, it looks bad, and I eat salad. And it's kind of funny because...
It is funny.
Yeah, I'm losing weight. You know, they don't like the fact I'm losing weight, but I'm losing weight. And my body has to go through a change because I'm used to lots of sugar,
mm-hmm.
Yellow number 5, blue number 4, green number 2, you know, gluten, saturated fats, because I eat like a 12-year-old with a babysitter asleep. And now I'm like eating healthier. And you know what? For the first week, it was different food. My system wasn't used to it. So that's my theory about your daughter. Mm-hmm. We have an email and all it says is, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so that was a nice email. Came in 6 minutes ago. We got another one here that says... it says, subject is choosing more. For all my years of attending church, reading and memorizing scripture, and attending and leading Bible studies, all this I did as my way of seeking to find God. In frustration and disappointment and years of unanswered prayers, I have come to realize that the more I'm doing, the less grace has been able to do in my
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's very telling.
Yeah, we might have to talk about that next week.
My body hurts all the time and I'm tired. Maybe it's time I stop and allow God to be my God and love me where I'm at. This is the person who wrote this email was very brave to send that email to a radio show. We're not mentioning any names, but I think what I'm going to do is...
Save this for next week.
Well, I save all emails.
I know you do, but I'm just meaning...
Yeah, I'm leaving this one like it's unread.
Yep.
I think what we're going to do, folks, don't you agree, Jim? I think next week we're going to get deeper into more. We're gonna really expound on it and really... bring it more into your life, really, so that there's no confusion on your part. So what I would like to do is possibly mention this to a friend or relative. Just take a piece of paper and say, this is the website and there's a radio show streaming right now, so that if they like what they heard tonight, then they'll know that next week, which is Tuesday night, the 27th of October, 2015, we will go deeper into more. Speaking of more, tomorrow night, Hardesty Library, yes or
no?
That's
right, yes.
Starts at 7.
7 o'clock.
Now, you can go to the Facebook page, Jim's Facebook page, or
the ministry website, jimhockaday.com. Or you can find it on this website, theabidingpresence.com.
And you can actually watch and listen live for an hour as Jim is in the Hardesty Library Tulsa. Just got an email that popped up. It says, BJ and Jim, when you put grace to the test like Jim's daughter did, do you have to believe without any doubt at all? The reason I ask is because I know so many Christians who feel hamstrung by their imperfect believing, even though they are participating in grace where they are at. They feel that grace cannot get past their heart stuff. Can you help my friends and myself? Jim?
Yeah, well, first is, do you remember on the broadcast, because I'm sure you've been listening, when the question was about healing, and BJ said it's not really, you know, you're not really paying attention to healing. You're putting your attention on your connection with God and grace. Well, that's the same thing here with what you're talking about. Look at your focus is on trying to believe something, to quantify your belief, to qualify your belief. Really, the whole thing is, and the emphasis of our show, is people just getting connected and beginning to enjoy Jesus, because the greatest convictions come out of the time spent with an individual, not just the scriptures that you read about the individual, the stories that somebody else experienced about the individual. That should make you curious to say, then why can't I have that? But for you, you need to just take a few moments. It doesn't even have to be a lifetime experience. A few moments to get quiet enough to recognize that God's with you right now. Why would you be afraid of stepping beyond what you can do so that you can experience what God can do?
We just got a text that popped up on the screen. It says, hello, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. Dennis and Muriel Mattson, Minneapolis, Minnesota, the United States of America.
Well, I'm glad you texted us. Thank you.
You know, I just refreshed the screen.
Uh-huh.
I bet that text came in a while ago.
Hmm.
Because the Mattsons, if they send something, they usually send it in the first half of the show.
Hmm.
So, Dennis and Muriel Mattson, Minneapolis, Minnesota, United States of America, hello to you. Jim?
Got some music?
I do. I do have some music. Let me get to it.
Well, while BJ's getting to the music here, as we're getting ready to close the show, I'm going to go ahead and read my last scripture tonight, and we'll be able to talk about this next week, too.
Now, make sure you tell them where it is, so, you know, if
it's
they want
to. It's in the Amplified Bible, and it's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. You'll like this, because our subject tonight and next week will be more. Now unto him who by, in consequence of the action of his power, that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Or so be it. So we just pray for you tonight. Thank God that you've been listening to us and been tuned in for the last couple of hours, where your hearts have been open, where your minds have been thinking, meditating on these wonderful thoughts of more grace, more love, more of God, more experience. So now just realize God's been with you the whole time. Maybe you don't hurt like you thought you did. Maybe your body's changing. I bet it is. What if things weren't so bad tomorrow? What if life, as you've thought, was a whole lot better than you've given it credit? And maybe you could wake up tomorrow and have an amazing day. Come on, somebody that's out there, why don't you just believe even just the tiniest little bit that God is in your life? And the things you've been struggling with, they're not a struggle at all, because God is a God of more. We'll see you next week. What's Ranger doing over there?
Well, Ranger, what are you doing? What's dog spelled backwards? Are you saying hello to Deco and all the dogs? Good girl. Boy, she's fired up tonight.
She is.
Well, what do you think? I think we should have a part two.
Yeah, I'm all game.
We're going to do this next week. It'll take me about 10-15 minutes to get tonight's show recorded and up and streaming. Last week's show will play as we say our goodbyes. And I want to give you a homework assignment. And I want you to use a pen and a paper And if you want to share the information with your family members or friends, it's okay. This isn't a secret one. But I want you to be conscious of your choices. You've got 7 days, and I'm not talking about big choices. I'm talking about the little choices that distract us all from God's love. And I want you to just keep track, just like with a little, you know, like you put 4 lines and then you cross it to make 5. Just make check marks whenever there's a choice between choosing less or going for more.
That's good.
And I think you'll be surprised. And you're probably going to need a pretty good sized piece of paper and a lot of lead or a lot of ink. Because whether you're in school or you're at work or you're retired, whenever you have a chance to come in contact with other people, when you leave your house, when you're on the telephone talking with someone, and even when you're alone in your house, how you feel about yourself, what you do with your time, there are opportunities for more. The lesson here in this homework assignment is for you to realize that wherever you are, grace is with you, and grace was there waiting for you. And so keep track of these instances of choosing and living less, or choosing and enjoying and living more. And so we're going to talk more about this next week, right, Jim?
We are. I'm looking forward to it.
What do you think? Did we have an okay show?
Yeah, real good show.
We had great snacks. It was nice to hear from people we haven't heard from in a while.
Yeah, very good.
Like Gian and Stovetop Sue.
Yep.
Folks, take care of yourselves and your pets. And Ranger. How does she always know?
She does.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.